Welcome back, everyone, to the one and only Stoke FM Morning Show. You're here with Laird. It is 9:32, and in the studio we have our intrepid journalist, Megan Dooling.
Megan the reporter.
Megan the reporter. And we're also joined in the studio by Mayor Gary Sells. How are you doing today, Gary?
I am good. Good to see you guys. Thanks.
I wanted you to come in because there was a big conference from September 18th to 21st, the Union of BC Municipalities. Briefly, for our listeners, just describe what that is.
That's pretty much every municipality in the province gets together with the provincial government to go over what we each respectively need for our communities. And sometimes we're successful in our asks. Other times it's just planting the seed or having the conversation is how we can get things better for our communities.
Who is there from Revelstoke?
So we had Evan Parliament, our CAO, councillors Stapenhurst, Palmer, Matt Cherry, and that was it. Oh, no, Councillor Lucia, yeah.
And yourself.
And myself, yeah.
Okay, and I think we can all probably guess, but what were some of the issues that you brought forward from Revelstoke to bring forward to the province?
Well, we talked about housing, fuel prices, more RCMP officers. Wanted to keep the conversation open with some of the ministry staff as to things going on in our community, and basically let them know that we're open to being at the other end of that open conduit of money coming from the provincial government to the community. So if there's other communities that don't want their money, we're willing to take it. And I say that in jest, but I actually said that to one of the ministry staff, and they kind of chuckled, and they said, that's what we're all here for, is to make sure we got stuff for our communities. So that's kind of what it was about in a nutshell. We had many meetings. So we request the meetings about 2 months ahead of time. And so my assistant Janet kind of asked me what we want, and so we go over a list. We talk to council. We were successful in getting 2 ministers' meetings and 17 staff meetings, which is a lot, right? And actually ended up being a little more than that because we had a meeting with the Resort Communities Collaborative, which is 14 RMI communities in the province. So we all meet at the beginning of UBCM. And then we met at the end with the minister, and I'll go over that in a bit.
Which ministers did you get meetings with?
Minister Kang from Ministry of Municipal Affairs, and Minister Harry Baines, Ministry of Labor.
Okay. And what did you, I know you only had 15 minutes. You said it's like speed dating. So what did you talk about?
Yeah, it really is speed dating. So the first 6 minutes is you go in, you get to meet them and talk to them. And we've met them before, so it's fairly quick. They take photos because anything in provincial government, if there's not a photo, it didn't happen. So we do that sort of thing. And then we talk about, so with Minister of Environment or Municipal Affairs, we talked about wastewater treatment. And so I basically talked about more funding for our wastewater treatment plant. We know that there's going to be some communities in the province that aren't able to complete their projects because of overruns. So they will end up having to stop the project or not even start it and give their grant funding back. And I basically had said to the minister, we're willing to take some of that funding because we know that we're delayed a little bit getting behind because of Ministry of Environment, and we may have cost overruns. So I asked for an additional $4.4 million. And at this point in time, there isn't that funding available, but there may be at the end of the fiscal year. So it's kind of putting the bug in their ear now. Like, hey, we're willing to take that. We've got, you know, we have the ability to borrow the money, but if we can get grant money, that'll help our taxpayers and our community.
I just want to pause there a little bit. I believe it's $14 million that the city has now from grant funding to expand the sewage treatment now. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, we've got a little over 10 million and then the ability to borrow 7 million. We were given 3.3 million, I believe, in community, the Growing Community Fund. I would not like to touch that if I don't have to. It's there. We can use it. And the minister and I discussed that sort of thing. You know, we thought it was a good opportunity for us to put in another ask and see. So if there are funds available at the end of the fiscal year, we'd have to reapply. But let's see what can happen.
And is there a concern? You mentioned the Department of Environment is, you have to get more approval from them. Is there a worry that some of the money that you have secured could expire if you don't?
No, okay. No, that's not the issue. It's so what now we've got a new person in the Ministry of Environment saying we want to know exactly what the water quality effluent is going to be like as it exits before you even start to build. That's put a 60-day delay on what we're doing, which means that we're not going to get in the ground this fall. And so I always get concerned that there'll be an escalation in costs in construction because we're delayed. And we're delayed by government, right? So that was my ask. Listen, your ministry or the Ministry of Environment's kind of put us behind the eight ball here. Is there any ability to get more funds? And if you don't ask, you're not going to get. So.
Absolutely, yeah. And I know I'm going to talk to Steve Black from the city about this more, so I won't ask you any more questions on that. We'll move it along. I know, and then you had another meeting with another minister. What was that about?
Minister Harry Bain. So we talked about bridging to retirement for forestry. And I wanted to make sure that those in our community who are near the end of their careers, if they wanted to end their career early in forestry, they would have funding available for that. And I wanted to know if that funding was going to be carrying on. So I spoke to the minister last year about that. And then I wanted to know if there was any uptake on that. And so Minister Baines was able to tell me that locally here, 10 people had applied for that. Up to $72,000 each. So there was $427,000 total given out locally. Here in the province from 2021 to 2023, 579 forest workers have received funding to the tune of $23 million. And the program continues on to the end of March. So when they originally put this program in, they said, you can apply for it, you get your funding, and then you can't work for 18 months. That's it. You're done. You can't work. And so I went back to the minister last year and I said, that doesn't work for our members of our community. Some of them still need to be employed. So they actually changed that format and said, you can no longer work for 18 months in the forest industry, because what they didn't want was you getting your payout and then walking down the road to another mill. And so they were able to do that. So people can go back to work just in a different industry. And so that's a bonus. But that was one of the concerns that we had. And that those things come to fruition. And again, that's about having that conversation.
And I know that at this conference, you don't just talk to ministers and staff. You can talk to other municipalities and kind of discuss best practices. And I know a big issue with the city and a concern that we see among the public is there's rules around short-term rentals, but the city does have a hard time enforcing them. And I know that you are putting in place an adjudication process to hopefully make that easier. Did you talk with any other municipalities or any staff about best practices around enforcing the rules that you have?
We didn't talk so much about best practices. I mean, we talked to other communities and say, what are you doing? And everybody's looking to the provincial government to actually put the rules in. So Premier Eby has said, listen, we've got rules coming in the fall. We have no idea what that's going to look like at this point in time. He hasn't indicated anything. So we're kind of hoping that they'll be fairly comprehensive, but we don't know. Other communities are going through the same thing we're going through. Everybody's having a problem with housing based on this sort of thing as well as cost to build. Right. So.
Also related to housing and cost to build, I know Evan Parliament had a lunch with the chamber a while back, and he talked about how the CP building, this staff housing was able to go up really quickly because CP didn't have to go through City Hall. I'm wondering if at this conference there was any discussion around hurrying up the process at City Hall so it doesn't slow down development.
Well, we didn't talk specifically about what we do at City Hall because we're down to, you know, probably 2 to 3 weeks for a building permit. And I had that confirmed by a builder yesterday that they're saying things are going well, very happy with the planning staff and how they're putting things through. And Premier Eby had said in the spring, listen, we want you guys to get rid of the red tape, get things going. And we're able to do that. We change that sort of thing as we move forward. And I think is a positive with that getting it. But Evan's right. CPKC was able to build their units in 8 months and at a reasonable price. And so you look at that sort of thing and go, okay, if we can do that as well, we need housing for staff, but we need housing for professionals as well, nurses, police, firefighters, that sort of thing. And so we need to be looking at things like that. We have an availability of some land here in the community. How can we free up some of that land so we can do that? And basically, we need to get moving on this. So that's our intention.
And you mentioned when I asked what you brought forward, you did mention more RCMP staff. How big is housing a problem for recruiting more RCMP officers here?
Well, it's really hard to get young police officers in. So what's been happening here in the municipal end of policing is new recruits are coming out of depot. So they come, they're able to rent a room or a basement suite or whatever, and that works well for them. But for some of the, you know, the seasoned officers, they're coming with their family. And if they're coming from an area like the Lower Mainland, they may be able to purchase here in the community. If they're coming from maybe Eastern Canada, they may not be able to purchase something. So housing plays a big role. And so being able to house those officers and go forward, that's an important thing. So as you mentioned about the RCMP, so I met with Deputy Commissioner McDonald last year, and we spoke about housing and getting police officers here. So I said, well, you know, you're going to have all these police officers free from Surrey. We'll take some of them. And he kind of chuckled about that sort of thing because he said, we don't know what's going to happen. So I brought it back up. I said, well, we now have some officers free from Surrey. And he said, better than that, Gary, we have some positions that we weren't able to fill for the last several years in the northern part of the province. We may be able to put those positions here in the Revelstoke area. So we're hoping for 3 more highway patrol officers to come into the fold. But they're going to be a long stretch of the Trans-Canada Highway working, and they may not be able to live here in Revelstoke, but they might be able to live in Sicamous, Salmon Arm. But that will be a complement that will help our police here. And when it's highway patrol, it's paid for by the province, not by our taxpayers. And that's kind of been what we wanted to do. So.
And I wanted to just get updates on 2 more things that we've spoken about before that are related to housing. And just curious to know if this was something that you discussed at the conference. We talked about mobile bank forms. Some park owners don't want to sign those, and it's making sales fall through, and it is a big problem here in Revelstoke. Is that anything that was discussed there?
No, it wasn't, and that's because it's a CMHC document, so it's not a provincial document. So that sort of thing. My understanding is that some banks are able to take that standard document they've been using for the last 20 years and alter it to some degree where some owners will sign it. But we're not seeing that across the board. Mm-hmm. And at first we thought this was a Revelstoke-only problem. Apparently it's not. It's going through to the Okanagan and to the Shuswap.
And on the island, too, it's been happening.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Another question. I talked to you in the spring about people who live in campers and in non-permanent houses. It is illegal in the city, but there are a lot more people doing it because of affordability and also lifestyle choices. And it isn't just a problem in Revelstoke. It's happening everywhere in BC too. Is that something that was discussed, how to maybe make it so these people aren't being persecuted or fined, or maybe make a comfortable, safe place for them to live?
It wasn't discussed because it's kind of each municipality deals with it on its own merits. So we didn't say, hey, you know, can we get some sort of provincial program to assist this? It's basically, with all due respect to provincial government, downloading on the municipal government to say, figure out your own way to get that done. And so that's kind of where we have conversations with other municipalities and say, What are you doing? How do you, are you able to do with that? And so one of the things that we want to do here in the community is how do we actually get these people maybe out of their vehicles and into housing, if that's a comfort level for them, if they're going to spend their life here, or if they're out of housing and have to live in their car because of affordability, how do we get them back in? And so we had conversation with BC Housing and the Minister of Housing talking about getting some of these things built that they're willing to do. So there is some new funding coming forward. We have some small pieces of land. We might be able to work some stuff out. But one of my biggest concerns was, you know, how do we get the housing, like the redevelopment of Mount Bigby School? And so they said to me, Gary, we need a nonprofit to operate that. Get that nonprofit, we'll get buildings. So they're telling me that they'll build in 2024. And I was a little harsh with them, going, I've been hearing this song and dance for a while. Let's move this forward. So, you know, they've heard our concerns. We see the same thing happening with the Columbia Gardens project, where one unit has been renovated, the other two units not. They want to turn that ownership over to a nonprofit, and then BC Housing will complete the renovations on the rest of it to get that done. So at least we're hearing why these things haven't come to fruition, but that doesn't help us in the short term. So, you know, we still have concerns. How do we help those who are in our community? Whether they're living in a car because it's choice or whether they're living in a car because of affordability, it's, there are residents. We need to help them in whatever capacity we can. So there's still going to be lots of conversation on that, Megan.
And then kind of speaking of that, I understand that the city does own a house near the college and it is empty because apparently staff can't afford to rent there. I'm just wondering, if the city has an empty housing stock, why aren't there more creative solutions around how to fill it? Like maybe work with community connections, and it could be emergency shelter overflow, or maybe put it on the rental market for anyone to rent. Why can't that happen?
Well, we're hoping that we're going to bolster our staff by a couple more, but I will actually have to talk to our people that deal with that and say, why isn't it full? You know, I just heard the prices the other day, I think $1,800, $2,100, and I'm not sure who can afford that, if we can afford that.
Per room?
No. But there's two suites per suite. And I understand there's a three-bedroom suite upstairs and a two-bedroom downstairs. I can't quite confirm that, but it's been a while since I've been through the house, and they've since renovated it. So we're looking at that to see. We want to hold that for staff, but we can't hold it in, you know, forever. And so we'll look at what our options are to make sure that that goes back in. And we talked to the police, we said, you know, we have that availability as well. So we're looking for where we have to fill jobs and keep that for those people. And that's kind of where we're at.
And I understand as well that Revelstoke Mountain Resort is building a reservoir to store water, and they will use the Greeley watershed as the source of that. I'm wondering the long-term projections of the viability of continuing to use that watershed as our water source. Like, how long will that be enough water for how much we're projected to grow?
Well, I think that's it's a good question, Megan. I think that's going to be there for a long time, as long as we can keep that area pristine. The idea of having the reservoir is for fire flows. And so they're building that reservoir as part of their agreement to do any housing or any hotels or any. You can't have occupancy until that reservoir is there. My understanding is that it may come online in November. I can't confirm that, but that's kind of what we're thinking. But having that water available should something happen is really what we're trying to do. Now, when we're talking about water, so one of the questions we had a meeting with BC Hydro, is we talked about the ability to use river water for irrigation on our Revelstoke golf course because the water is right there. And then Councillor Stapenhurst brought up a good thing. He's been in emergency services most of his career, about having what we call dry hydrants, where you put a pipe down into the water on the river, have a fire hydrant there, and then you just do a draw on that, and it fills that hydrant, and we can use that for emergency issues if we have fires, that sort of thing, especially with what's going on in our community when we talk about preparedness, emergency preparedness. And so BC Hydro is looking at those sorts of things for us. So we're looking at other innovative ways to manage our water so that we have that there for drinking.
I think those are all my questions about the conference, but I just also wanted to give you a chance to talk about your retirement too after 43 years.
Yeah, so my wife and I had talked about retirement for the last few years. And actually in 2014, when I ran for council, I was going to retire at that point. And at that point, I had been driving back and forth to Golden, looking after funeral home in Golden and here. And I was starting to get a little tired, putting in lots of hours per month. And we brought people in to run the business. And it didn't work out. So we carried on. And in the spring of this year, there was new owners that had taken over the funeral home in 2020. And I told them when they took over, listen, we're going to retire. And the comment made by the owner was, well, we're hoping you're going to go on the 85 plan. I said, what's that? You work till you're 85. I said, that's not going to happen. And so he kind of chuckled. And then in the spring of this year, fairly busy for us. I was getting a little tired. And I looked at my wife and I said, I think we should call it a day. And she says, okay, so what do you want to do? And I said, let's pick a date. So we picked September 1st, and I said, hell no, let's change it to August 31st. And so we did it. And in the meantime, we had still owned the real estate, that corner building, and our son had that for sale for us. And in June, he had basically said, you know what, Dad, building sold. So we're happy that we were able to complete things, and a local fellow had bought the building. And so we're excited about that for the future, but also excited about just taking a rest. And 43 years is a long time in any career, and my wife has been working with me for 33, and there's no way that we could have run that business without her support. And then the more that I do in my role as mayor, the more work was put on her shoulders, and I was seeing fatigue. And so, you know, we looked and said, it's time. So I'm grateful to, and young enough to be able to retire, and hopefully we're able to travel. We're going to stay here in Revelstoke. We love it. This is a town, probably one of the first towns that I can honestly say I felt like home. And my wife was born and raised here, as was her mother before her. So roots run deep. We're comfortable here. So, yeah, we're now retired and willing to just kind of put our feet up a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you're staying since you're the mayor.
Yeah, that's an important factor. We're very comfortable here, and I'm looking forward to what the future brings, and grateful to the community that we could actually serve our community for all those years. Extremely grateful for that. And so, yeah, and so it is, as they say.
Is there anything else that you want to say while we have the people of Revelstoke listening?
I think I just want to say to all of the council, appreciate the fact that they were able to be there, be part of these meetings, take part, give their input, and then to Mr. Parliament for being there to guide and lead, but also support in whatever way we can. UBCM is definitely a big week-long procedure. we're all, I'm sure all of us are going to be looking at each other this week, going a little exhausted, a little fatigued about meetings and meeting doubt, but it was worthwhile. And there was lots of great speakers. So Summit Council were able to take in those speakers and hear what was going to go on. And it was interesting for us being, you know, small town people and why there were some protests down there at the same time. So trying to get all the politicians' attention. But it was worthwhile, and we're grateful that we were able to secure so many meetings with ministry staff.
All right. Well, thanks very much for coming in and telling us about it.
Great. Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.